Well, we're going to, again, jump in here and just to go back and to share that to affirm means to validate something. It means to express a strong belief in or dedication to something. So when you affirm something, in other words, you affirm your salvation, you're affirming what? You're expressing a strong belief or dedication to. And when I affirm Jesus, then I'm asserting or affirming my dedication to him. Synonyms of that means to assert, it means to declare, it means to profess, or you could say confess. To assert something implies stating confidently without the need for proof or regard for evidence. So when I assert something, that's faith talking right there. And an affirmation is a statement of truth you make firm by repetition. And I've shared this on past lessons. Our continual affirmation or confession has infinite value. So one of the things I shared from some books I have from E.W. Kenyon, he said, the thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. And he went on to say, when they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing. Interesting. When they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing, and believing or acting upon the word became more difficult. So there's infinite value in us doing what? Decreeing and professing who we are in Christ. What we have, the promises of God, are yes and amen. And our words are important. Are you a person of your word? Do you trust in your word? Do you keep your word? You know, if you already know you don't keep your words, well, then when you start decreeing some things, you might not be sure. So one of the things, let's look at the New Living Translation. We start this evening in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17 through 22. This is the New Living, and then I'll read it in the message. So powerful. And this is starting in verse 17 in the New Living. It says, you may be asking why I changed my plan. This is Paul speaking. Do you think I make my plans carelessly? Do you think I am like people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? Have we heard that before? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preached to you, and as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. Whew! Now listen to this in the Message translation. Are you now going to accuse me of flip-flopping? And we heard these terms. With my promises because it didn't work out. Do you think I talk out of both sides of my mouth? A glib yes one moment, a glib no the next. Well, you're wrong. I try to be as true to my word as God is to his. Boy, that's a good objective in our life, to be as true to our word as God is to his. Our word to you wasn't a careless yes, canceled by an indifferent no. How could it be? When Silas and Timothy and I proclaimed the Son of God among you, did you pick up on any yes and no, on again, off again, waffling? Wasn't it a clean, strong yes? Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. In him, this is what we preach and pray, the great amen, God's yes and our yes together, gloriously evident. God affirms us, making us a sure thing in Christ, putting his yes within us. By his Spirit, he has stamped us with his eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what he is destined to complete. So God is glorified. He's already stamped his promises as yes and amen. And he said yes and the amen. And he said what? That the amen is in Christ. So this yes and amen, when we affirm with our yes and amen, it does what? It says it ascends to God gloriously. So God is glorified through what? Our faith in his promises. When we say yes to those promises and we agree that they're settled, they're done, I don't have to do anything to get it, it's already done. My healing is already done. My prosperity is already done. So the things that I face in life, I just need to have, what does the scripture say? Through faith and patience, we acquire the promises of God. So it's through faith, and then I'm going to need patience to see it come to pass. But they're already done, and I need to do what? Affirm that. So our confessions or our affirmations will rule us. In other words, they'll direct our lives. We shared this in past lesson, Matthew 12, 34 in the New Living Translation, and 34 and 35. It says, "You brood of snakes," he's talking to the Pharisees here, Jesus is, "how could evil men like you speak what is good and right?" So he knew their hearts. And then he went on, "For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." And you can see here what causes the good things and bad things of life. They come where? Out of the heart, and or how? Released by the words we say. And then it goes on. Let's look at Proverbs 4:23, look at this in the complete Jewish Bible, in Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences." And then it goes in the New Living Translation, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it does what? Affects everything you do." And this is the easy-to-read version. And Proverbs 4:23 and 24, it says, "Above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life." So this goes back to what we were just sharing. God has already said yes. He's already settled it. The promises of God are ours. And we need to do what? Affirm, though. We need to say amen, yes to that, in Christ. And agree. And do what? Speak that. Decree it. But if we keep our thoughts, you know, you might say, if he has already settled, or let's say it another way, if I have an extreme financial need, and if that was the case, but my confession is one of talking about the need rather than what I have in Christ, then it can negate the promise of God. I mean, just think about that. In other words, God has already, he says, he redeemed all mankind. It's already a done thing. But my yes causes the power of God to be activated and brings eternal life into my spirit and changes me. It's already done, but it needs my affirmation to cause that to become a reality in my life. So it's the same thing. I may be a born-again Christian. The promises of God are mine. They are yes and amen. But I need to affirm that, regardless of what I'm walking through. I need to say that he supplies all of my need in Christ through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I decree that, and I call the finances and the things into my life. I decree that. Joshua 1:8 in the Amplified Classic supports that. Said this is Joshua 1:8. Says, "This book of the law shall not do what? Depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it." How? "Day and night." That means continuously. "That you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success." So when, you know, so often people, I know Brother Hagin used to say this, and others, people would say, "Well, I'll say that when I see it." Well, when you see it, you'll know you have it. Why would I need to profess something that I have when I already have it? No, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for or expected, the evidence of things not seen. So when I don't have, or I'm not maybe dealing wisely, or I desire to deal wisely and I desire to have good success, then I need to be doing what? Not letting this book of the law depart where? Out of my mouth. And that I'm to be meditating in it day and night, observing to do it. And then it says, when you do that, you will have good success and deal wisely. You'll know what to do. That's what we need to be saying. I'm meditating in the Word of God. I'm dealing wisely. I'll know what to do when I get into that business meeting, or I go and I have to deal with something. I'll know what to do. And you need to profess that. You need to say that and decree it. When? Before you have it. Because we shared on Sunday, possession follows after confession. The possession of something comes after you confess something. And so we can either have a positive confession or a negative. And Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 in the Amplified Classic, and then the Bible in Basic English. And it says, "You are snared with the words of your lips. You are caught by the speech of your mouth." See? And then the Bible in Basic English says something similar. It says, "You are taken as in a net by the words of your mouth. The sayings of your lips have overcome you." So when you're going through some tests and trials in life, you need to say amen to the promises of God. It may be uncomfortable. You're going through an uncomfortable spot, but that's the time that you need not dwell upon the problem. That's the time you need to say, "No, I have what God says I have." He's without variableness or shadow of turning, James 1:17. And so we need to do what? Our words can dominate us. They do dominate us. Our words can either do what? Put us over, or our words can hold us in bondage. And that's exactly what these scriptures are saying. Faith-filled words will put you over in life, and fear-filled words will do what? Will defeat you in life. There was some scripture I'm thinking about here, Romans 10:17, in the King James version. It says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Actually, when it says hearing by the rhema of God, but this is an interesting rendering of this. This is the New English Bible of Romans 10:17. It says, "We conclude that faith is awakened by the message." Whew. "And the message that awakens it comes through the word of Christ." Wow. So your faith is what? Awakened when you hear the word of God. And your faith is stirred and awakened when you hear yourself affirm the promises of God. Your faith is activated. It's awakened, another way of saying it. When you confess the word of God, and you're getting God involved in that process. You're getting him involved in the process. You're giving him the right to move in your behalf. Just the same way, when you release words, negative words, what is Proverbs 18:20? In the King James, it says, "Death and life is in the what? In the power of the tongue. And those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So we are going to have what we say. So the power of a positive affirmation is that we will have, if we speak something positive, we will have what we say, and we will not walk in those issues. You know, in other words, we want some issue to change. Well, it's going to take, I always say, it's going to take a checkup from the neck up. You're going to have to take a look at that tongue that's in your mouth and get a hold of it. I believe I'll get this scripture out in a moment. In James, but it talks about the rudder in the ship. How do we change the direction of the ship? He said it's that small little rudder that changes the direction of the ship. It may have been going in the wrong direction. Just start speaking the promises of God, and it'll change. It'll change your direction. It'll change all the issues that you've been walking in. Here's when we think about this Mark chapter 5, when we look at this account of the woman with the issue of blood, and when we go over and just take a look at that for a moment, let me, Mark chapter 5 and verse, I believe, starting in verse 26. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified Classic. And actually, we'll start in verse 25, Mark 5, 25, in the Amplified Classic. So you get the you know, just the full impact here. It says, there was a woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years. Now, I don't know about you, but if you had had a flow of blood for 12 years, that's a problem. And it said, and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. It sounds like she had reached a point where she had had enough. She was up against the wall. She'd had enough. 12 years of this. So it goes on in verse 27. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. Oh boy, hope is there. Hope is being stirred up. And she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? So you can see she touched him, and then the power was released. And did what? Healed that flow of blood in her body instantly. And so we see that the possession of this followed her positive affirmation. What does it say? She heard the reports concerning Jesus. So faith was awakened. She heard the word. Jesus is recorded in John 1:1. He is the word. So the word went forth, was spoken by others. She heard the reports concerning Jesus. Faith was stirred up and awakened in her. And she said what? If she said, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. But she had to do something. She had to get up and go to where he was. She had to go out in society, which she was not supposed to do. Could have caused her death. They would have stoned her, possibly, for her being unclean. But she went anyways. And it said that when she touched him, immediately her flow of blood was dried up. Her words caused the power of God to be activated in Jesus. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, Acts 10:38, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So she was oppressed of the devil, and she got healed. But she had to say something. And we were sharing from a little mini book by Brother Hagin, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. And he said, Jesus told him, if anybody anywhere does these four things, he said, they'll get from me what they desire. And he said, say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. And Jesus also told him, he said, regarding this woman with the issue of blood, if she had said negative or positive, that's what she would have received. But she did what? She spoke positive because faith was awakened. Something inside her said, she heard of Jesus's reports and said, I'm going to get healed. I heard that. Everybody that comes to him, she must have heard that. Everybody that came to him was healed. Everybody that came to him was delivered. Well, that had to have stirred hope in her and an expectation. I'm going to get healed. I heard that. And so that's the thing that's exciting. She heard something that caused her to take an action. And what happened? She affirmed what the reports that she heard. She affirmed, if I just touch his garments, I'm going to be healed. And there may be somebody watching tonight. You've been going through something a long time, and you've reached that point. You just reach out and touch it and say, that healing is mine. That deliverance is mine in the name of Jesus. I receive it now. I have it. And when you do that, the power of God will be released in you. And healing and deliverance comes in the name of Jesus. And that's the power of a positive affirmation. And then we can also see that there's power in a negative confession. You're going to eat the fruit thereof. Let's take a quick look in Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 26, I think. Numbers 13. And let's start with verse 25. Numbers 13, verse 25, this is in the King James Version. And then we'll read a few verses in chapter 14, verses 6 through 10. And it said here, and they returned, this is when they went into the promised land that had been what? Promised them by God. He gave it to them. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. So they not only showed it to them, they did what? They told them, they brought back word, not just to the leaders, but it says to all the congregation. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, see, so that now here, you know, it's amazing, but... This is a nevertheless. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb did what? Caleb was one of them that went in with them. Joshua and Caleb did. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's faith speaking. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Who brought up the evil report? The ones that went with Caleb and Joshua. The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, So we were in their sight. David didn't talk like that when he saw the Philistine. So let's continue. Let's see over in chapter 14, starting in verse 6. Actually, let's back up in verse 5. Numbers 14, starting in verse 5. And it says, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of this land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And then what happened? But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. That's not a good idea. And the glory of the Lord, that kind of angered the Lord, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. God was a little upset. And so what I'm sharing is we can see from Scripture that we see in the New Testament the power of a positive profession, and we'll look at one more, but we can also see the power of a negative confession. It angered God. He said, I give you this land. And he said, you are well able to take it. And Caleb and Joshua said, let's go in. They're bread for us. They were walking by faith. They said, God is with us. And so sometimes if we're not careful with our thoughts and we keep looking at things, we can see the condition of our country and we can say, there's no use. There's just no use. It's gone too far. How are we going to be able to change this? With God, all things are possible to them that believe. He's given us dominion and authority in his name. And we're seated with him in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in this earth and the time to come. And so we, and heavenly places. So we've been given dominion and authority here, and God is looking for the church to affirm that we have this position, this authority in Christ, and that we're going to do something with it, that we're going to speak to the things that are causing all of the turmoil and the problems in this earth, and we're going to come against it and command Satan, take your hands off of it. Take your hands off our country. Take your hands off this state that we live in New York State, or whatever state you're in, or whatever nation you're in. You command him in the name of Jesus to cease in Jesus' name. That's the power of an affirmation, a positive affirmation. And so we need to watch what we're saying. You know, we're coming into a season where things have been unleashed in this country that you can't even, I mean, we're in a season where things have been released and unleashed in this nation where it's ungodly. And we're not to rejoice in unrighteousness, but where right and truth prevail. So we need to stand up and take our authority and command Satan and his forces to back up. Take his hands off your family. Take his hands off your business, if you're a business owner, in the name of Jesus. It says in 3 John, it says, what does it say? I wish above all things that you do what? Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God wants us to prosper. He wants us to overflow with blessings, to be what? Visible to the earth, that this God that I serve, this Lord that I serve, the Lord Jesus, this God prospered me. This God has delivered me. This God has been good to me. And so that's what he desires. He wants us to be a light. And so I just share that Abraham, when you look at Abraham and his story, he talked about how when against hope, I have it here in a modern translation, and Romans 4 in the New Living Translation, and starting in verse 17, Romans 4:17, this is the power of a positive affirmation. Based on what? Based on something God promised to him. And it says, that is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. And then continuing Romans 4:18, it says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. In verse 19, Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, it was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Glory to God. So we can see here the power of a positive affirmation. And I would say as we close, if you're watching and you've never made the Jesus the Lord of your life, and you've never received him as your Savior, he's already died for you. He's already paid for your sins. And it says when in Ephesians 2, it says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and he raised us up from the dead along with him. All one has to do to make that real or reality in your life is to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And so if you've never done that, this is the right time to do it, is to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I've tried everything else, and it's not working. I need your help. I need you. I believe that you paid for my sins. I believe that you came and died for me. I believe that you took my sins to hell, and I believe you, and I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to become my Lord and Savior. And when you do that, if you do that right now, and you've made that profession of faith, then you got born again. Eternal life came in, changed your spirit instantly, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And so if you've done that, just get in touch with us. You can either email us, or you can mail us, or you can call us and say, look, I've accepted Jesus, and I'd like that free information as to who I have become in Christ. I accepted him this evening. And so if you did that, let us know. We'll rejoice with you and send that out to you.